All right, we'd like to welcome everyone to the Wednesday night Landmark Baptist Church Bible study. Wednesday night we've been doing a series on I Can Help You, and this will be our seventh effort in that series. And we've still been on salvation, just trying to clarify the subject of salvation. I think a lot of people are confused. One reason we're doing this, we don't want nobody to miss heaven, salvation. Paul said, many have done harm to the simplicity that's in Christ. Jude said the common salvation, it's pretty simple. It's simple enough that a child can understand it. And Sister Rita, she's going to sing a song here in a second. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. And we just invite you to attend with us. The church raised up some money for a family not far from here. And we're thankful to be able to send some money to them. They was in need. It wasn't a lot of money, but a little money is a lot of money when you're running low. And I'm so proud of the church for raising up money for a family not far from here. We praise God for that. And we got like 11 days till Easter comes. It's going to be on the 31st of March, and this is the 20th. We're looking forward to that Easter service. And we're looking forward to this coming Sunday morning service. Lord done gave us the message. We're always excited about that. And I'm just a messenger boy. I just deliver what God gives me. He told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach the preaching I bid you to preach. Now if their preachers out there got any sense at all, they'll let God tell them what's needed. I've learned that the hard way myself. But I'll tell you one thing, God does know the needs. Sometimes we make a mistake of thinking we've got the steering wheel, but you'd be better off let the Lord do the steering, and you just do the serving. Amen. He's the one sets the fish and bread and fish on the fire. He's the one sets the table. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day you've given us. Already been saying such a beautiful day. I think it's the first full day of spring, and Lord, we know, Lord, that the earth's the Lord's the fullness thereof. Lord, you send the rain in its season. Lord, when people aren't doing right, you said you withhold the rain. And I kind of feel sorry for these people that think they can do something about the so-called global warming or the climate change. Lord, you're in charge of the temperature. Lord, if the sun was even 10 degrees closer, the earth would be burned up. If it was 10 degrees away further, Lord, the earth would be an ice ball. You set the order of everything, and we're so thankful, Lord, that you are on the throne. That, Lord, you do set everything in order. We pray, Lord, for your blessings upon our efforts in this little church. We're so proud to be the pastor of this little church, Lord. A good, strong, Bible-believing, fundamental Baptist church. We're so thankful, Lord, to be a part of this great work. Ask your blessing on the service tonight. Bless the singing and the teaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead there, Sister Rita.
First of all, I want to say it's a blessing to be here today.
Amen.
You know, this past week has been a challenging week for me.
Bless the Lord.
I was challenged with asking why. Why, right. Why? When things happened the way I happened last week.
Amen, Sister Rita.
But, you know, we just have to turn to God.
Yes.
To find our answers.
You're right.
And he pointed me in the right direction.
Praise God, Sister Rita. Bless you.
But always know that you can always turn to your Bible to get answers.
Amen.
When Brother Eddie came Saturday to the funeral home, he told me to read Romans 8.
Yeah.
And I did.
Amen.
And it answered some of the questions that I was asking why,
yeah,
about. So there's always answers for you in the Bible.
Sure enough.
So we just have to turn to Him. When things happen in a tragic way, you are going to ask those questions. Why? Why this? Why that? Could I have done this? Could I have done that? So, but we can't go there. So I chose this song tonight, kind of like a answer a few questions.
Amen. Bless your heart.
Eliza, she's the little ray of sunshine.
Amen.
Her lap is full of joy.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough.
Bless her, Father.
Every single lie that tells me I will never measure well.
Gracious God of heaven.
Am I more than just a sum of every high and every
bless you, Rita.
Low?
Bless you, Rita. Oh my.
Remind me once
yes.
Who I am because I need to know.
Bless your Father.
Ooh, oh, you say I am loved.
Yeah,
but I can't feel a thing. And you say I am strong when I can't feel the wind.
Bless your Father. Yes. Amen. Good singing, good song, good presence of the Lord. I had goosebumps right up my arm and jump off. Hallelujah. Thank God for spiritual songs. I like a lot of songs, but I really like spiritual songs. Amen.
Amen.
Good. Thank you, Rita, for singing that. I needed it about as much as anybody did. Oh, my. Boy, I'll tell you, we got something. We got Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Friend sits close to a brother, friend that loves at all times. Said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. Amen. And we're going to be in Acts chapter 16. But did I tell you Romans chapter 8, Rita?
Yes.
I want to read just a little bit of Romans chapter 8. Because Rita, she, like all of us, had some questions. We all do. And I'm glad the Bible's got the answer. But I want to read just a few excerpts here at the latter part of Romans chapter 8. And Paul here writing to the church of Rome, starting in verse 35, he said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, you may be having some tribulation tonight. Or distress, you might be at your wits' end right now. Or persecution, you know, people in Gaza, people in Israel, October the 7th, persecution going on. Even the people down next to the border down there, both ways, people coming across and people that are here, famine or nakedness or peril or sword, no matter what's coming against you. And you know what? This verse 36, as it's written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're counted as sheep of slaughter. Someone may take your life. They may take the life of a family member. May take something from you. Verse 37, though, Paul said, nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors. In other words, even if you are killed, even if something does take your life, more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I like verse 38. He said, for I am persuaded. Now, you can be persuaded, but this is one way you need to be persuaded for sure. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death. I've got two daughters in the ground, but one went in there at the age of 17. She lived 17 one week. Car wreck took her out. I got another one in the ground. She was a little older, 42. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor depth, or any other creature. I think that covered it all. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm glad I'm more than a conqueror. I don't know. I mean, for all I know, this may be my last day on this earth. I just know that nothing can separate me from my Savior. And I want to read one more verse and we're going to Acts chapter number 16. One reason I want to read this verse is this is why you can make that claim we just read there in Romans chapter number 8. Jesus told his children, verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's John chapter 10, verse 28. We're in good hands. If you're saved, you can't get no safer than in Jesus. So we've been, like I said, we're in a series. It's called the I Can Help You series. I'm just trying to help people get comfortable with the subject matter of salvation. Some people are so uncomfortable about it, they don't even like to talk about it. They shun or they avoid the subject matter. I'm trying to help you to be a little bit more comfortable talking about salvation and also a little bit more convinced of whether you've either got it or you don't have it. And we'll be starting here in Acts chapter 16, we'll be starting in verse number 9. Like I said, we got Easter coming up 2 Sundays from now. And if Jesus hadn't arose from the dead, our faith would be in vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 mentions this. And Paul talked about, you know, the Christ rising from the dead. He said in verse 12, if Christ be preached and he rose from the dead, how say some among you there be no resurrection from the dead? Boy, it's sad news for people that's in the ground, amen?
Amen.
But he said, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain? Yea, and we're found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if he be that he, if the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you're yet in your sins. Then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Remember, we just reading just a minute ago about they'll never perish? Well, verse 19 here says, verse 20 is one I want to get to. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Verse 20 is one I want to get to. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. That's why our faith's not in vain. That's why he left behind many witnesses of his resurrection, and they all died, in faith. They all agreed of all the things that they saw, that they, you know, that they could bear witness of the fact that he had risen from the dead. You know, the world would like to take that away from you. They'd like to somehow put that to silence. But praise God, there's a great cloud of witnesses. All right. Acts chapter 16, verse number 9. And in verse 6, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Verse number 7 says that they were forbidden by the Spirit to go down to Bethany. And here in verse 9, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. And you know, there wasn't no television back then, but this was similar to that. He saw this. He said, this vision appeared to Paul in the night. I guess you'd call it like a dream. There stood a man of Macedonia, prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosening from Troas, we came with a straight course, that's a good word for me here, to Saphonica, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. Now, like I said, this is Paul and Silas. Verse 13 said, and on the Sabbath, which is Saturday, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted hither. And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Now this lady here, Lydia, seller of purple, Lord opened up her heart, and not only did she attend to the things which were spoken of Paul, she ended up getting baptized and her whole household. And then she wanted Paul and them to lodge there with them for a while there. Verse 16, it says, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, this woman here says that she was possessed. Even possessed, she recognized something about Paul and Silas. She said, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Verse 18. And this she did many days. Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. You've seen the vision, you're where you're supposed to be, you're doing what you're supposed to do, and then something like this shows up, and I'll tell you, I've had a few encounters. I don't look for another one neither, I'll tell you it right now. I think it's Acts 19, let me see here. Yeah, Acts chapter 19, in verse 13, there was then certain of the vagabond Jews exorcists. Now that means these guys are professionals. They got their PhD, their pedigree, you know, doctors. Certain of the vagabond Jews exorcists took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjourn you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. Now they're just kind of denying Jesus and Paul both in this statement here. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priests which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked, wounded. I just wanted to read that because Paul here, being grieved, he didn't ask. See that word adjourn you? That means we ask you. I should have probably said something about that. But he says here, we adjure you there in verse 13. Paul's not asking. If you'll notice here in verse 18, Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, Acts 16, 18, to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And that's a big difference between we ask you and we command you. But it's also another big difference. This spirit in this woman of the divination, it didn't argue. You know that one there in Acts chapter 19 that said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? They're in pretty big trouble right there. In other words, he said, are you telling me? I don't have to answer to you. Now, the Bible says, greater is he that's in us, he that's in the world. And Jesus gave us power over unclean spirits. I've never cast one out. I'm not making no boast here tonight. I've never cast out an unclean spirit. But I will tell you this. If God ever told me to do it, I would. Without hesitation. Because I already know I've got authority. And I already know that we've got the advantage over the adversary. A lot of people, and I got kind of in this predicament one time. I met a woman with an unclean spirit. And God didn't tell me to do nothing. And honestly, I didn't do anything because I was sitting there thinking, I hadn't been saved but just a little while. And I was just a babe in Christ, a novice concerning the Bible. But certain things I do know. One thing, you better know what you're doing. Them boys, them seven sons, took on themselves to cast out a demon, didn't know what they was doing, left that house wounded, naked. Paul, after many days, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, he didn't say to the woman, he said to the Spirit, verse 18, I command thee in the name of Christ, Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Just want to show you that difference there real quick. Now verse 19 is where a problem started here. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains, for the love of money is the root of all evil, and which some coveted after, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And, you know, that's a problem all along there anyway. I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let me turn there real quick. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some coveted after. They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, these masters of this woman that had this spirit of divination, in other words, she was like a fortune teller. She could kind of say where to put your money, and they'd get the gains that they wanted. They didn't care about her. They just cared about the money. But when they saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them out into the marketplace unto the rulers. Now, he's talking about political trouble. They're in trouble right here. But in this case, this trouble is actually good. It comes out good. They couldn't have helped this guy if he hadn't gotten in trouble. So they brought him out before the rulers and brought them unto the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." You know, they're kind of like speaking for the whole place there. And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And, you know, Paul, he's also a Roman. I don't know if we'll get to that tonight or not, but here they just jumped the gun. They didn't ask no questions. And the accusations, verse 22, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they'd laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, whom, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, made their feet fast in the stocks. He didn't know what was going on. They didn't know what was going on. That spirit knew what was going on. He hit the road. He came out of her. Now, really, starting here in verse 25, it's where I wanted to spend my most time tonight. I just want to read that other to kind of show you where we're at. And here they are. They're in the inner prison. Their feet have been made fast in the stocks. You know, most of Christians would have probably cried or prayed or had a pity party. I don't know. But here, Paul and Silas, really in terrible circumstances, sat at midnight. Now, I'm pretty fond of my sleep. I'll tell you right now, at midnight, I'm going to be asleep. Most of the time, I'm asleep early. I get up 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning every morning. That's a good time to get up, good strong cup of coffee, good King James Bible, read about an hour, pray about an hour, and then go out and face the day. Amen. But here at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I like that way that's said. That means they didn't whisper. You know how we do? What a friend we have in Jesus. No, they said, "What a friend we have in Jesus." I mean, the prisoners heard them. They sang it out, beaten and bound in the inner prison. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. You know, Jesus, he came to set captives free. And whom the Lord sets free, they're free indeed. This similar to this happened to Peter. They bound him in prison. The church got down, got to praying for him. And next thing you know, an angel escorted him out of the prison. And they're immediately loosed. Verse 26. And this keeper of this prison, this Philippian jailer, the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep. It's midnight. Now, he talking about midnight cry. Well, right here it is. The keeper of the prison awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. Now, this prisoner's fixing to take his life. And the reason he's taking his life is because he's accountable for all these prisoners. You know, sometimes life's like that. Sometimes you get turned upside down. Sometimes it looks so bad you're looking for a bridge to jump off somewhere. You just can't handle it. Well, that's kind of the moment this Philippian jailer's in. He's to the point, he's ready to take his life. He says he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. He's not, he's not just thinking about taking his life. He's going to do it. And the only reason he didn't do it is verse 28. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." Now here's a man ready to take his life. Paul said, "Don't do it. We're here. We're all here. Nobody's gone." Then he called for a light and sprang in. Now this prisoner now, I mean this jailer now, he's kind of like realizing his situation ain't where it needs to be. You know, sometimes things happen in life. Sometimes circumstances cause you to think eternal thoughts. Well, this jailer's thinking eternally now. He's thinking, you know, even though I'm the jailer, even though I'm in charge of this prison, even though these prisoners in here, you know, they're all bound, I'm thinking maybe they're better off than I am. So he comes in with a light and come in trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Now, I wasn't there and you wasn't either, but in my mind I can see this. I can see this man of authority. I can see this man at one minute ready to take his life. Now he's found out the circumstances aren't what he thought they were, and he's reconsidering taking his life, and he calls for a light, and he comes in this prison, comes in trembling, and he falls down before Paul and Silas and brought them out. Now you're talking about circumstances change, and they were bound. Their feet fast in the stocks. They're in the inner prison. This jailer, midnight, he's woken up out of his sleep, and he brings them out. And this is why I went to this place tonight. This is probably the simplest illustration of salvation that I know of in the Bible. This jailer, due to all the circumstances, he asked not only the right question, but he asked the right ones the right question. And his answer is, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Simple question. The man's ready. He come in trembling. And you know what? He fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out. I mean, he don't need nobody to lay hands on him. He don't need nobody to take him down to Romans Road. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I'll take out any day of the week. You come into Landmark Baptist Church, you come in over here, come up to old Brother Eddie, and say, "What do I need to do to get saved?" And I'll be glad like a compass to point you to Jesus. And you know, a lot of people out there are going to miss heaven. One reason they're going to miss heaven is they're too, I don't know, kind of like Martha, troubled about many things. That one thing needful is the one thing being neglected. And you know what? They're running to and fro. One day the run is going to stop. Maybe you'll have an opportunity like this jailer did. Maybe you won't. What's so busy right now won't matter when the pains of death gets a hold of you. I've seen a lot of people die. And when they're laying there and they're looking up, and it's kind of like on a roller coaster ride, you can't do nothing. And they know they're dying, and you know they're dying. They look up in your eyes, and you look into their eyes, and you can either see the hope or you can see the hurt. You can see the fear or you can see the faith. I've been there. I've watched a lot of people die. I've been in the hospital, held my mother's hand. She died with her eyes open. She went out of this world like a champion. I didn't know she'd even died. The doctor come in the room, being professional. She come in the room and said, "The Lord, if you can hear me, close your eyes. Me and my aunt yakking up a storm." We didn't really think much about the doctor asking her to close her eyes. And she said, "Would y'all mind stepping out just a minute?" We stepped out of the room. We're still yakking out there. The doctor come out there and said, "She's left us. My aunt fainted." The last word my aunt said before she hit the floor was, "She can't be gone. I need her." And I'm sitting there thinking, that's my mother. But I've watched people die. Like I said, this man, he was just getting ready to take his life. Now he's ready to have eternal life. He wants to lay hold on eternal life. He knows these men are real. And the reality of what he sees here is all he needs to see. I feel sorry for these people that believe in things that ain't real and ain't true. But if you do want to ask somebody how to be saved, please, by all means, God help, ask somebody that is saved what they need to do to get saved. Don't go ask somebody that their answer is, "Well, I hope I am," or "I'm enduring to the end," or I'll know when to get there. Hey, look, I already know I'm saved. I know I'm saved because I was there when it happened. But I also know I'm saved by the Word of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. "These things I've written unto you that believe on the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. "Examine yourself, I already have. Prove yourself, I already have. Know yourself, I do. Whether Christ be in you, except you be reprobates." I've been there. I'm saved. I'm saved to the uttermost. If you're going to ask somebody, "What do I need to do to be saved?" make sure you ask somebody that is saved. Well, that's what this jailer's doing. He's asking somebody that he's sure that they're saved. And he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I love the question, and I also love the answer. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Now, I want you to know, if you got, the Bible says, "He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life." It's pretty simple. If you receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you can be saved right now. But if you go to somebody that tells you you got to keep the Ten Commandments, you got to be baptized in every creek and every pond in Barron County, I'm just telling you, I got saved at home. Got saved 9,000 Ebony Road, April 27th, 1988. I didn't know nothing about salvation until I got it. Now I know all I need to know about it. And I'm telling everybody everywhere, you better get saved. You better be born again saved. Jesus is coming. He's coming for His. And when He takes His out, it's going to be hell on earth. I'll just tell you right now, Jesus could definitely come Easter this year. My gut feeling is He's going to, and I sure hope He does. I'm not making a prediction because I'm not a prophet, but I'll tell you one thing, He is going to come. I do believe He's going to come this Easter. This jailer here, the urgency of the matter. What must I do to be saved? The clarity of the answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You know, the Bible says in the book of James, not to be hearers only, but doers. Let me look that up real quick. That fit real good right here. James here says, James chapter 1, verse 22, "Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholds himself and goes his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh to the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." I just want you to know, this man was a doer of what he heard. Look at verse 32. "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord." See, we're begotten by the word. I'm born again by the Spirit, but I'm begotten by the word of God. "And unto all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night." Now, we're talking midnight salvation here. "And washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them." Notice this. and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. That's about as good as it gets right there. You got a man getting ready to take his life. He's ready to do it. You got someone intervening, interrupting him, saying, do thyself no harm. We're all here. Then you got a man trembling, falling down, and saying, sirs, what must I do? He's seen all he needed to see. All he needed now was to receive what he saw they had that he didn't. What must I do to be saved? And the answer is so simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Friend, I just want you to get saved. And I promise you this. Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners. He loved you enough to die for you. He loves you enough to forgive you for your sin, forgive you of your sins, and he loves you enough to save you from your sins. What's salvation mean, Brother Eddie? It means this right here. If you die in your sins, Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life. If you die in your sins, you're going to have an eternity in hell paying for your sins. Hey, I went to Jesus as a sinner. I asked him to forgive me my sins. I asked him to save my soul. And now, I'm telling you, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of life is the gift of wages of sin is death, but the gift, oh my, come on, Eddie. Romans 6:23, I'm done tongue-tied myself. The gift of God's eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord, I believe that's what it is. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You're going to have one or the other. You're either going to die in your sins, or you're going to bring your sins to Jesus and get forgiveness of them and get saved from them, and you're going to have eternal life. It's either going to be eternal damnation or eternal life. Trying to keep it simple, but what a great, this fearful jailer became a believer, had, you know, not only great gratitude, but also received a great salvation. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You're not going to escape. There'll be no excuse. There'll be no escape. When you stand before God and give an account, he's going to be looking for one thing. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. The blood of his son Jesus cleansed us from all sin. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the testimony. If you got Jesus, tell somebody you got Jesus. He said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. He said, you'll be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. I'm going to heaven by the grace of God, but I'm going first class. I'm not only not ashamed of him, I love to tell people about Jesus. I tell you, friend, tonight, Psalm 34 verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I had tasted everything there was to taste till April 27, 1988, and I had never tasted salvation. And after I got saved, I didn't want nothing else. I'll be honest with you, buddy. I've been enjoying being saved for 36 years. And I'm not only satisfied, but I believe you will be too. If you'll give Jesus a chance, if you'll just run to him and say, Lord, somebody told me you love me. I heard not only that you love me, but you died for me. I heard also you'd forgive me and save me my sin. Ask him. You ain't got nothing to lose. But if you die in your sins, you got eternity to lose. Not in heaven, but in a place prepared for the devil and his angels. A place called hell. Nobody likes to think about hell. Nobody likes to talk about hell. There's people in hell right now. Not even an ounce of hope of ever getting out. Down there, the Bible said, the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Hell's not going to freeze over. Every time a volcano erupts, I'm sitting there thinking hell's getting a little fuller. I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to go to heaven. And the Lord wants you to go to heaven. He went through hell to give you heaven. But you got to get to him to get it. He gives eternal life to those that come to him. Father, we thank you for the lesson tonight. Tried to keep it simple, Lord. And Lord, we just pray, dear God, tonight somebody out there listening, It's trying to figure out what they need to do to get saved. I pray they find a place somewhere and kneel down. Call upon you, that's rich in mercy, all that call upon you. Lay hold on eternal life, get a refuge for their soul. Get their sins on the blood and start enjoying what few days they have to live down here. Lord, we know our life's but a vapor, appear for a little while and then vanish away. And I pray for those that are here and what I'm saying tonight. I pray for those, Lord, that are lost tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it, Lord. Amen.